This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You gotta widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Harper, the swing of his life!
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I am coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's with us in New York City on the boards. Thank you so much. And you could be listening anywhere, at home, on the road, at work, getting ready for the weekend. Maybe you are getting ready for March Madness. The women get going in March Madness in only a matter of minutes. The men, they get going underway, or they get underway tomorrow. We got you all covered here on CBS Sports Radio. This show, the JR Sport Brief Show, I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can find me online everywhere at JR Sport Brief. The number here is 855-212-4CBS. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, and SiriusXM 158. You got a smart speaker, ask it to play CBS Sports Radio. We got you covered here. Well, CBS Sports Radio, we've already had a great time so far in the show. Thank you so much. Much love to Sean Hurd of ESPN's Anscape for joining us last hour. Also, thank you oh so much to you for listening. Right before we went to break, we talked about the Houston Rockets. Just a soft team. Learn their lesson. Talked all that crap. Talked all that trash against the Golden State Warriors. They should know a little bit better and had to get spanked. We briefly talked about the men's tournament. We're going to get into the men's tournament more as the show goes on. Hey, how about this? In about 20 minutes, Bryant McFadden, former NFL cornerback, Super Bowl champ, former Pittsburgh Steeler, now media personality with CBS Sports. He's going to come through and join us in about 20 minutes. Why? Because he had some comments that he made about 2 days ago. And he says that the Houston Texans are the second best team here in the AFC. And I had to go, whoa, you got to explain this. I don't think so. I think you got to go out there. You got to beat the team that you couldn't beat. And so Bryant McFadden is going to come through and give us a better explanation about why he thinks the Houston Texans are the second best team in the AFC. And so we'll do that, as I said, in 20 minutes from now. Tyreek Hill has some comments on the future of Odell Beckham Jr. Speaking of futures, Bronny James' future looks like it's been established somewhat. Looks like he's trying to get into the NBA. Josh Allen had some words for Stephon Diggs at the beginning of last season. We'll get into it. If you want to talk to me, I'll say it again, 855-212-4CBS. Hickey, we talked about it. You gave it a 7:13 local time start for North Carolina State and South Carolina to get underway. It looks like this game is, it might be closer to the 7:08. It looks like they're ready to go in like 5 minutes.
I like it. No messing around again. I like a little bit of a buffer selfishly, 10-15 minutes, but it looks like you said, if we may actually have a close, not obviously on the button, but close to accurate tip time here.
But this is why tip times suck. Because it was only a couple of days ago that we had the same exact 7 p.m. quote-unquote start time, and a game didn't get going until close to 7:20. They had the the little pregame before 7 p.m., and Rebecca Lobo was standing around, it looked like, in an empty arena. And then 25 minutes later, we actually get tip time. And here we are at the end of the week. They say 7 p.m., and there's nobody on the court. The only people milling around are the referees. The stands are pretty packed right now, and everyone is ready to go. And so we are about to see the South Carolina Gamecocks take on North Carolina State. And must I remind you, the men and the women are competing in the Final Four for North Carolina State. All my friends in North Carolina, all my Wolfpack folks out in Raleigh, they are absolutely loving this. They are loving the opportunity. Now, I got to be honest. On the men's side, people are expecting Purdue to walk away with it. In a few minutes tonight against South Carolina, people are expecting the Gamecocks to walk away with it because, well, Gamecocks are undefeated. They have just been running roughshod over everybody. And Dawn Staley, the head coach of the Gamecocks, she can feel it. She can taste it. She says the championship is so close. Right now, they're 36-0. Listen to this.
Not disrespecting the process or not disrespecting our opponent, but once you get here, they can see it. NC State can see it. UConn can see it. Iowa can see the end of the finish line. There's one and a possible games left for all of us, and I want to win.
Yeah, everybody wants to win. I mean, last year they started the 36-0, and, well, they lost. They didn't get the job done. Is it possible for them to take an L this time? The answer is hell yeah. Anytime you step out onto that court, you can take a loss. I always like it when people call up and people say, oh, man, they don't have a chance. And everybody has a chance. Is it a small one or a big one? North Carolina State has a small chance against Camilla Cardoza and the South Carolina Gamecocks, but it stands to be a chance. Even if it's a small one. The head coach of the Gamecocks, well, on the women's side, Wes Moore, he's like, oh, yeah, we're here. And I don't care. I know we just showed up at your door and busted down.
We feel kind of like the party crashers. You know, I don't know that we got an invitation to this thing, but we're here. And so it's exciting. Really proud of these young ladies and what they've done the last few weeks, especially. We've gone through a juggernaut of really great teams to get here.
Yeah, well, it's been a while since he has been here. This is North Carolina State's second Final Four appearance. The last time was 1998. Yeah, and I guess North Carolina State, they are party crashers in both the men and the women's side. Hickey, have you ever crashed a party? Ever been somewhere you're not supposed to be?
No, I've never crashed a party.
Never, ever?
No, usually if I'm invited, I go. I'm not a big, like, I don't like to make a big fuss or stir things up. So if I'm not invited, I'll steer clear. I don't want to, you know, make
okay.
a scene.
Never walked by a wedding and poke your head in and said, oh, I can let me get a drink.
No, I don't have the personality to do that. I'm too shy. I wouldn't be able to pull it off.
Okay. Me neither. Not have I.
No?
No, never. I think it'd be cool, right? Just pop up. Did you hear LeBron James said he had a party crasher? Did you ever hear that?
No.
When he got married, I don't know how many years. How long has he been married now? I don't know, 15 years?
Long time, right?
I mean, yeah, feels like a long time. God bless him and his family all together. They're happy. He's a billionaire. What's wrong in LeBron James' life? Nothing. Good for him. Anyway, he said at one point in time at his wedding, he said he had a party crasher. He said, of course, he got a lot of celebrities at the wedding. And he said that, you know, whoever this party crasher was calling people by their, like, first names and names that they would never hear before. And people started to point out, who's this guy with? And he said, yeah, they had security take him out.
What do you mean call them by their first names?
You, if you're a celebrity and you full name. Here's a bad example. Imagine Ice Cube not being the most famous person, but somebody walking by Ice Cube and calling him by his first name. Enough where he goes, nobody calls me that. Like, who are you? And who do you know? Does that make a little bit of sense now?
No, in that aspect it does, which if you're a party crasher, don't you want to kind of blend in, not stand out?
Yeah, but when you start calling people, well, you got to fraternize, right? You can't be, what do? Just stand on a wall at a wedding? I think, isn't that even more obvious? Like, who the hell are you and why are you here?
I mean, I guess you're right. If you're going to go through the hassle, especially of LeBron's wedding with so many famous people there, if you're going to sneak in, I guess you're right. You got to make, you know, get your money's worth, right? You can't just sit at the table, have a piece of cake, and call it a day.
You could, but it has to be like the table that's farthest away from the dance floor.
Near the kitchen?
Yeah, near the kitchen. Because you can't stand near the bar. Everybody's getting a drink. You can't get on the dance floor because people are going to go, who the hell is that dancing? And then if you're talking to the wrong folks and you, hey, how do you know the bride? How do you know the groom? And then it's over. You're cooked. Well, LeBron James needed better security at his wedding. Anyway, he's been happily married, I assume, for a long time. Do you know his wife has a podcast now, too, by the way?
Oh, she does. Savannah, huh?
Everybody has a podcast. LeBron James' wife now has a podcast.
What does she talk about?
I don't know, and I'm not going to find out unless, you know, it's something that we're going to play on the show. I have no idea.
Has she had it for a while, or is this like her husband, like a new venture that started just a few weeks ago?
It's 2 weeks ago. It was teased along with LeBron's new podcast where he breaks down basketball, which is boring as hell. and she also put out her own teaser. I saw an image of the teaser. I said, I don't need to hear it or listen to it. And I established that if there was going to be anything relevant that I would care about coming out of her podcast, that I'd hear about it. And as of right now, you know what I've heard?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. No offense to Savannah James. It's just, if she's saying something worthwhile, I'll find it. Also, Hickey, this is a great time. I posted this yesterday to let everybody know that we're going to have a new segment. And we're gonna take a look at dumb tweets, not dumb tweets. We're gonna take a look at dumb comments, and highlight some of these dumb comments made by former athletes. Because everybody nowadays has a podcast. And Gilbert Arenas said that Nikola Jokic is probably the worst MVP that the NBA has ever seen, which leads me to believe that Gilbert Arenas is he like high all day? Is he on drugs? Did he get dropped on his head? Like, what's this guy's problem?
Yeah, he's a big time hater. That's for sure. I love the tweet. I love the idea. And Savannah, maybe, you know, just another podcast to add into the swath of pods that we have to maybe get some good content. Maybe.
Yeah, you know what? And I may have to widen it beyond, you know, stupid podcast messages. I don't know. I don't got enough time to sit around looking for dumb messages. It's probably be Gilbert Arenas every day. We might just have to highlight whatever the interesting messages from an athlete. So, for instance, today I saw something DeJounte Murray said that Kyrie Irving is the best ball handler that the NBA has ever seen, which is fine. Yesterday, Gilbert Arenas made a point about, I don't know, you know, Jokic being the worst MVP. And even Tyreek Hill, I don't know if he's still podcasting, but even Tyreek Hill has a podcast. And so look out for that segment. We're going to highlight some of the more interesting points. If only Kwame Brown still had a podcast. Kwame Brown hates Gilbert Arenas, hates him. If there's one guy that could put Gilbert Arenas in check, it would be Kwame Brown. Anyway, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Hickey, you are almost right on the dime. The women's game between North Carolina State and South Carolina, it got underway at 19:11 local time. Initially, you said, did
13.
I say?
Also, you gave that a military time.
You know why? Because every clock, I just had to catch myself. I did. All of my personal clocks are in military time. And for whatever reason, I guess it just follows me around. Here in the studio, the clock is also in military time.
Is your phone's on military time?
Yeah,
I'll
send you a screenshot. Because when I was younger and I started to travel, I just always kept it on, you know, military time. Just so, I mean, I can keep up with the rest of the world.
Wow. I feel like that'd be more challenging.
No, it's easier for me when I got back to the States. I mean, it's easier for me to go It's easier for me to come home and communicate with other people around the world when I know what their time is instead of thinking about the conversion. Does that make sense?
Yes and no.
Look at your phone. I just sent it to you. That's the front of my phone right now. You know, I can't just change that in like 5 seconds. You know, you got to go through all the stupid Apple settings. I keep my phone on military time all day. Yeah.
But I guess, like, if you're going to do the conversion, like, if you're, you want to talk to someone in London, what are they, 5 hours ahead? Like,
it's six.
6 hours. Instead of doing five, 19 six, yeah, five, plus six, yeah. Wouldn't it be better to say, okay, 7 o'clock now, 5 hours to midnight, 6 hours, 1 a.m.?
Yeah, but
that's faster?
Yeah, but that's like, it's 1 a.m. But when you, it's a 24-hour clock.
Right.
So then by the time you get into the evening time, you gotta flip it over. It doesn't just, it's not a 12 hours. That makes sense?
No, it does. I guess I'm just sitting here, maybe because you're used to your clock, I'm used to my clock. I could not imagine, I mean, I can read military time, obviously, but it would take a half second to figure out which is which. I guess it would just be easier for me to
do it the way it is. I do it on the reverse. Rather than somebody telling me overseas, hey, I want to talk to you at, 5 o'clock your time, and then they send it to me and it's like 17, I just automatically have it set. Hey, next I'm going to learn the metric system. Wait on that one.
Kilometers and meters.
Hey, I'm on it. That's actually a little bit easier when you think about it. I do know it. It comes a little bit different. Metric system is more so into time, but now I'm going to confuse people.
Quartz, right? Is that them too or no?
A quart?
Yeah.
Nah, we have quarts here. No, quart? No.
No, but quart's not that like common of a measuring.
What do you do? A gallon? A liter of milk?
Liter? I mean, right, what do they do for liquids over there?
A milliliters?
Oh, boy.
Liters, jeez. Milliliters? We can ask Brian McFadden on the other side of the break. No? Well, that makes sense. Let's ask him.
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
Let's ask him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. South Carolina and North Carolina State are already underway. 6.5 minutes left in the first quarter. The Gamecocks lead the Wolfpack 5-4. Oh, it's early. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back on the other side, it's a conversation with a Super Bowl champ and a CBS Sports analyst, covers all things NFL. It's Brian McFadden here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. We know it's been quite a week. Final Four on the men's side. Final Four on the women's side is just underway. And we also had a big trade in the NFL this week. Stephon Diggs gets moved from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans. Texans are stacking up. They're loading up. Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Joe Mixon, Danielle Hunter. It's not even to mention some of the players that were already on the roster. Anderson Jr., Stingley Jr., a lot of juniors. And then, of course, C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans leading the way. Well, right now to join us and talk about some comments that he made about the standing of the Texans in the AFC, he's a multiple-time Super Bowl champ. He's a current analyst for CBS Sports covering all things football. It's Brian McFadden. Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
JR, what's happening, my guy? How you doing?
I ain't got no complaints. A long time. Where you been hiding at? Just making all the money, huh?
Man, I'm trying to be like you, man. I had to wait to get an invite to come join your show, man. You're doing big things. So, I was just patiently waiting for my opportunity to shine with you.
No, anytime. I can't have you here every week. I could, but I can't do it every week. Listen, man. Listen. I keep up with you. And yesterday, well, 2 days ago, after the trade, you had some comments made about the Texans standing and how good they were going to be. And you correct me if I'm wrong. You said that you have them as the second best team in the AFC, right?
Facts.
Okay. I made a point here on air yesterday. I said, it's like a little bit of Ric Flair. It's a beat 'em, man. You got to beat 'em. I think they're going to be one of the most competitive teams in the AFC. I think we can look at it from a talent perspective, but I said, let me see him beat the Ravens first before I want to go that far. Why do you have the Texans as number two behind the Chiefs?
Well, I'd be remiss to talk about the Texans without talking about their quarterback, C.J. Stroud. And I think it's safe to say the consensus would agree with me when you look at C.J. Stroud and how he finished the season. You know, not the entirety of the season, because remember, he missed some times because of that concussion. But how he finished the season, he finished like a top-five quarterback, right? So when you factor in his growth and what he displayed, his rookie campaign, assuming that he's going to continue to play to that level, that's one big factor, in my opinion, with them being the second-best team in the AFC. And then when you factor in the head coach and D'Amico Ryan's done an unbelievable job in putting together a solid, consistent organization in 1 year, then the talent. You talked about the talent they already had in place, but the additions of a guy like Joe Mixon, the addition of a guy like Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, D'Amico Autry, and they still have the draft to add more talent to their roster. I mean, they're the only organization in the NFL, when you look at in one offseason, that added a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard wide receiver, and a double-digit sack guy. That's the Houston Texans. So when you factor in all the quality teams not named, the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, when you look at their roster, I believe this is a team that will be able to push the likes of a Kansas City when you factor in what they've done. I'm not saying, as you mentioned, to beat a man, you got to beat the man. Everyone is chasing Pat Mahomes and Kansas City Chiefs, deserving so. But the other teams, you can throw in Baltimore. Right now, Houston, they have a better offense than Baltimore. They have a better offense than Cincinnati. They have a better offense than some of the other powers that be in the AFC when you factor in everything they've done and everything they've added. So that's why I gave that sound bit, because I really believe, granted, there's a lot of ifs with every organization in the National Football League during this time, but when you look at their quarterback play, C.J. Stroud will be a top-five quarterback coming into the league.
Brian McFadden is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I agree with you. I feel like we agree with the concept of, yeah, he's already one of the best quarterbacks, and I would say I would also agree with you there. They have a better roster, especially in the offense, than the Ravens. We also both agree that to beat a man, you got to go out there and beat him. Now, having said that, what are the teams that have taken the largest fall off? Is it the Buffalo Bills because Diggs is now gone, or are you confident that a spread the ball around offense is going to be better for them?
I mean, as I see it right now, yes, it is Buffalo. You lose your two top wide receivers from a year ago. Gabe Davis left in free agency to Jacksonville. You just traded Stephon Diggs to another AFC foe in the Houston Texans. So when you factor that into place, yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty with the Buffalo Bills. But clearly, you know, being the GM, Brandon Bean has a plan in place, right? You have to think, you know, they may add more talent via the draft to the wide receiver position, or they may make a move, you know, maybe try to put something in place for a guy like T. Higgins. Who knows when you factor in trying to add another experienced guy to the wide receiver room. But right now, I think it's Buffalo. And it's a thin line for the Buffalo Bills, because you look at having a guy like Josh Allen, all the talent they've had around him offensively and defensively, they haven't really reached the level of expectations one would think they could reach when you have that type of talent at the quarterback position in Josh Allen.
When you think about a team that has elevated, yeah, the Buffalo Bills might have taken a shot to the gut. What about a team that you played for, man, the Steelers? What could we look forward to knowing that Russell Wilson is likely going to start? But then he has that other guy, that Justin Fields dude, right over his shoulder.
Well, my thing is about Russell. I think Russell will be the starting quarterback to start the season. And how long he remains in that position is up to Russell. If he's balling, if he's playing good football, he stays the starting quarterback. And if Russell can give the Pittsburgh Steelers similar-like production he gave the Denver Broncos a year ago, Pittsburgh is a playoff-caliber team. They make the playoffs. Heck, they made the playoffs last year, JR, with me and you playing quarterback.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So now they have a guy who actually has a pulse, a consistent pulse at the quarterback position, and one would think this is a team that can surge to find a way to get into the playoffs. And once you get into the tournament, you know, anything can happen. So I'm very, very hyped about this opportunity for Russell Wilson, an opportunity to kind of get back in the good graces of football fans, even though I think he's been unfairly criticized from his play last year. Like I said, he played good football. So as long as they have that guy playing football the way that he can play football, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be okay. They're always going to be okay. The issue for Pittsburgh since Big Ben retired has having a guy at the quarterback position. They've been trying to find that guy. Hopefully Russell can give us some glimpse of what that player could be.
Former Steeler and Super Bowl champ, current CBS Sports analyst Bryant McFadden here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. There's been so much change in the league. We just talked about the Steelers and looked at the Texans. Let's go out west. We got a Harbaugh in Los Angeles, and we already see some of the offensive weapons are gone for Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler is out east with Washington. We see Mike is now with the New York Jets. How long is it going to take for things to get going with the Chargers?
Man, it's going to take a year or so. I mean, the turnover for their offense, don't forget about Gerald Everett. He's no longer there as well. So this year, Justin Herbert will have three new pass catchers when you compare to when you factor in the guys he left that left the Chargers. But I don't think the fans have any patience there. You know, it's similar to what I talked about with Josh Allen. When you have that type of talent at the quarterback position, you're expected to win. They're expecting you to win. It's going to be hard for the Chargers, based on how I see their team assembled right now, JR, to be a consistent winning team in the NFL, better yet in the NFC West, based on the turnover in personnel for their team. So I think it's going to be a foundational year for the Chargers with Coach Harbaugh kind of building his foundation. And this is going to be an emotional year, I think, for Charger fans, because I don't see them doing a lot when you factor in the turnover on the personnel side with the roster.
Now, Brian, I don't want you to get in trouble with me, okay? So feel free to sidestep this. The Chargers got fans in L.A. They're not just all down in San Diego. I mean, I didn't know that their fans even care. I thought they just are here.
I mean, one thing about the NFL fan base, regardless if you're cheering for an organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Raiders or the 49ers or the Packers, the Chargers, they want to see wins. You know what I mean? They want to see wins, and that's what makes the game of football, the NFL, such an entertaining sport. You know, when you talk about the fan base, and I mean, being in San Diego and now being in L.A., then the fan base is not the same as it once was in San Diego when it used to play in Jack Murphy Stadium. But playing in SoFi, they still want to see a winning team when you have a guy like Justin Herbert, who's an exceptionally talented, gifted guy at the quarterback position. I just don't see a lot of wins coming from the Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers, this year.
And Bryant McFadden here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Let's talk about the NFC. What team has gone up the elevator and what team is going down so far this offseason?
I'll answer the latter first. I'll say the Dallas Cowboys. Not doing anything active in free agency. And the reason why it was such a big story, JR, is because the owner, Jerry Jones, said they were going to be all in this offseason. We all heard it. Right, he gave us that free information, and they've been extremely quiet so far this offseason. And every other team in their division got better when you look at what they've done in free agency. So I'll say the Cowboys, when you talk about, it seems like they've taken a step back because they lost more players than what they've gained. In regards to teams or a team that really took a step forward in the NFC, I'll go Atlanta. You know, I'll go Atlanta solely because of Kirk Cousins. I know Kirk Cousins is another quarterback who gets criticized a lot based on the amount of money he's earned, and some people feel like he hasn't lived up to his contract. But in 8 games a year ago, JR, before he tore his Achilles, Kirk Cousins was balling.
MVP?
And he was balling. Yeah, he was in that conversation, and the Vikings were in the playoff conversation as well, and he was doing a lot of his damage without Justin Jefferson, right? So if Kirk Cousins can get back to being the healthy Kirk Cousins that we saw a year ago, playing in Atlanta in a very, very winnable division, by the way, the NFC South, I'm sorry, they're not scaring anybody when you look at the Saints, the Panthers, and the Buccaneers, even with Baker. I mean, that's an opportunity for the Atlanta Falcons to find a way to win that division. So I like what Atlanta has done, and they still have a top 10, you know, draft first-round pick coming up as well to improve the talented team.
Brian, last question for you. We know we got a lot of the offseason left. We have to go to the draft and go to training camp. There's been a lot of talk about what Caleb Williams is going to do out in Chicago. And is he going to fit out there? What are your thoughts?
Man, I think Caleb Williams will fit nicely in Chicago. And the reason why is because anytime you have a young rookie quarterback come into a situation and there's already talent in place, that helps his development, right? So when you factor in everything that Chicago has done, you know, adding talent to the offensive side, you already had DJ Moore in place. You already had Cole Kmet in place. You bring in a guy like Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, you know, Gerald Everett, right? So when you look at the talent they've added to their offense, that's going to help a guy like Caleb Williams if he is drafted to the Chicago Bears. And for Caleb, you just got to do what you've been doing your entire career playing the quarterback position. Make the plays that are there and understand and know you don't have to do all by yourself like he used to do timely while playing at USC. So I think Caleb is going to do exceptionally well because he has a nice structure already there in place. And as I mentioned, JR, the cupboard isn't bare. They got some spices already in the cabinet. You just got to make sure he don't overcook the food.
We're going to see. Can't wait to see where a lot of these QBs end up. Hey, Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to explain yourself and talk some NFL. Always a good time, man.
And thank you for having me.
Now, before you get out of here, there's so much that you do on CBS, all things covered. Where can people follow you and your work, man?
Man, follow me all on social sites, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, same name, BMAC_SportsTalk. Follow me. You'll catch me on CBS Sports HQ, CBS Sports Network, Spotlight Weekly as well, getting ready for the draft, getting ready for college football, you know, giving my takes. And hopefully I have another hot take for you to come in the next few weeks after the draft, JR, for you to dissect.
Oh, I'm sure I'll see you at the draft. Hey, you do everything. You ain't stepping back out onto that field to hit nobody. Those days are over?
No question. The only thing I might do on the football field, I might play a little flag here or there. But outside of that, no. I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing and enjoying talking to guys like yourself.
No doubt about it. Good chatting with you. I'll see you on down the line, okay?
Yes, sir.
That, of course, Bryant McFadden, CBS Sports HQ host and analyst, also a host of All Things Covered with his cousin, Patrick Peterson. You can find him everywhere, doing everything but hitting people. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about someone who tries to avoid getting hit. He does a very good job at it. His name is Tyreek Hill. He is breaking news. Yeah, Tyreek Hill has some breaking news about another wide receiver. I'll explain on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much to Bryant McFadden for joining us in the last break. Had a chance and an opportunity to talk all things NFL, including as to why he thought the Houston Texans are the second-best team in the AFC. If you missed that conversation, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I want you to know this, that you should thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from their professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, and you just heard this from Rich Ackerman, we got a close one here in Cleveland, Ohio, between South Carolina and North Carolina State. The women's side, they got a chance at the national championship on the line. South Carolina leads 28-24 until a shot right now that made it 30-24. Camilla Cardoza scored all of South Carolina's 12 points in the second quarter. And so South Carolina creating a little bit of distance here as they currently lead 30-24. We'll certainly keep you up to date as South Carolina is trying to continue on with this undefeated season. 36-0, trying to go 37-0. And if they win tonight and then win again on Sunday against, I don't know, UConn or Iowa, they're going to be 38-0, they become national champions. Hickey, I just saw this on my timeline. Are you kidding me? New York, we were talking about an aftershock. There was an aftershock the minute I started the show. Are you kidding me?
I'm glad I didn't feel it. That's a win for me at this point.
Is it your fault? Can't be my fault.
Wait,
my
fault?
I don't know. It said the minute we started the show. Aftershock. 4.0 magnitude.
Oh, 4.0. Wow, that's no joke.
No, that's I mean, it's almost a full point lower than what you felt this morning.
But still, I mean, I'm used to 0.0. I'm used to the ground below me not shaking.
Oh, you get on the subway, the ground moves all the time.
Well, that's to be expected. The rats, to be expected.
Yeah. You live on Earth. You live on Earth. The Earth moves. It's to be expected. Yeah.
There are some parts of the planet I thought some just natural, we'll call them disasters or natural occurrences, just what you'd be safe from. I thought in New York City, like, we deal with enough here, JR. You got the homelessness. You got the rats. You got the roaches. You got the overpriced apartments that are 2 feet by 1 feet that cost you $1 million. I thought at least we'd be safe from, okay, there's no tornadoes here. There's no tsunamis, no real hurricanes for the most part.
Hurricanes for the most part?
For the most part.
We're going to have more. They said we're going to have more hurricanes. We did have a huge one.
Well, yes. That was, just for the most part. That was, one in a million, but
New York City is a coastal city. It's coastal.
But in the Northeast.
It's on the ocean.
Right, but in the Northeast, so that's high. That's north enough where you are in a safe haven in a way where it's too cold for a lot of these natural disasters to occur.
Oh, no, bro. Go stand. Take a couple days and just go stand near the seaport or Battery Park, and you tell me how safe you think, the water is.
Well.
Camilo Cardoza's walking off, by the way. Uh-oh.
Does that look good?
She's limping. Oh, no. Oh, man. I hope she's just tweaked. I didn't even see what happened. We're talking about an earthquake. Anyway, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll give you an update. If there's anything good about Carmelo Cardoza walking off at this time as she did, it's the fact that it's about 90 seconds left in the first half. So she'll get an opportunity to get ahead of everyone to get checked out. I don't know if it's a knee, if it's an ankle, or what it is in her leg. But she had to walk to the back. And maybe she is fine. Maybe she will be okay. Wanted to get ahead of some treatment prior to the break. Camilo Cardoza having scored 12 of the 14 South Carolina second quarter points. Somebody else is going to have to score before a half if they want to extend this lead. I did mention before the break, prior to us having, or after Brian McFadden joined us, that there was some additional news. We got all these wide receivers that are moving around. I know T. Higgins still wants to be traded. We don't know if that's going to happen. Stephon Diggs gets moved from Buffalo down to Houston, Texas. Tyreek Hill is an interesting fellow. He gets married. Then he gets a divorce. Divorce paperwork is filed. He says it wasn't him. He's still married to his wife. House goes up in flames. It's just always something with Tyreek Hill. Well, today, Tyreek Hill decided to jump into the world of Newsbreaker because on Snapchat, which is the number one source for sharing news in America, Tyreek Hill put a photo up hugging Odell Beckham Jr. And he basically said, confirmed, that he would be joining the Miami Dolphins. We haven't heard anything else. We have no additional news. Besides Tyreek Hill and his photo. That's it. Now, do I want to believe this? I don't know. Let me know when it's signed. Let me know when the Miami Dolphins actually come through and say that we have signed Odell Beckham Jr. And is this the same big deal that it would have been years ago? The answer is no. I mean, even last year, Odell Beckham Jr. is pretty much still a shell of what he used to be. Listen to these numbers. 565 yards receiving to go along with 3 touchdowns. And he did all of that with only 35 receptions. You heard that correctly. Odell Beckham Jr. only had 35 receptions last year. He played 14 games, folks. Odell ain't the guy that he used to be, sans all these surgeries. And Odell Beckham Jr., slotting him into a Miami Dolphins offense that already features Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle, and Braxton Berrios, These ain't the tallest, the biggest guys in the world. This got to be the shortest. All they're missing is, I don't know, put Wes Welker and Julian Edelman out there. I don't think anybody's over 5'8", 5'9", let alone 5'10". And so adding Odell Beckham Jr. to the wide receiver room would do what exactly? I don't think it would do much of anything. Odell is going to be 32 years old at the end of the year. It's crazy to believe. This is the same Odell who was snatching balls out the air with one hand when he played for the New York Giants, one of the most iconic catches that we've ever seen in NFL history. And since then, what do we got? A bunch of knee injuries, leg injuries. Maybe he's dating a Kardashian right now. It's not football with Odell. The best years are behind him. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking the other way. Why do I want to do this? Odell Beckham Jr. pretty much has a confused reaction to everything going on. He says, I'm confused today. Did I sign somewhere? He says, everybody keeps hitting me up. If he goes to the Dolphins, shrugging my shoulders. Hickey, would you be impressed with Odell if he joined that wide receiver group?
No. I'm with you for a lot of the same reasons. I don't think he's the explosive player that he once was. He doesn't really move the needle anymore, and I don't think he's really changing anybody's receiver room, but especially in Miami, they already have a lot of high-level receivers. I think they need more consistency. I don't think that's him.
They're going to get and I get it. They added Jonnu Smith. Ooh, real exciting. I mean, a tight end, wide receiver, whatever. Like, how many short receivers does a team need? Like, at one point, I want somebody who can jump over somebody and get the ball. That's not Miami. Miami also needs to get players who can play in cold weather. Because the guys they got right now are just soft. S-A-W-F-T. Soft. Like, Ime Udoka called his team, the Rockets. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. South Carolina, North Carolina, the ladies there at halftime. South Carolina leads 32-31. We'll keep you up to date with this game as the ladies are underway in the women's Final Four. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. And when we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about a player on the men's side. He might be going to the NBA. Or he might be staying in college. It's LeBron's son. I'll talk about it on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Matt Spiegel, and we are off and running with Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. Hear guests like Joe Davis explain the thought process during baseball's biggest games.
You got to widen the lens. What does this home run mean?
Incredible broadcasters sharing great stories from your favorite teams with new episodes weekly. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.